あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ？どこにいるのかな？ね、見えない。
What's good, internet? Not much here. It's April 28th, 2023, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 562. I'm your host, Rob Zachney. I'm joined by Ricardo Contreras.
Hi.
Patrick Klepek.
A underscore Kato underscore disappears.
Wait. Wait, I have a... Sorry.
Yeah,
I was just waiting for Rob to do the intro, and then I was,
I don't know.
Patrick hadn't gotten into saying hello when I said his name, and okay. Patrick Klepek.
I'm here.
Yeah,
and Renata Price.
What's our final episode number, Kato?
Hold on, let me do right some now? Math.
We're awfully close to 666, but it would not line up.
No, we're like 100 off.
We're 100 off. Yeah, we're 100 off.
Wait, that. Oh, we're in the fives.
We're in the fives. Sorry, in the so six. Currently. This, I mean, last is going to be what? It depends on how many we do, actually. What are we
what
doing?
What is the current episode number? What current, is the current episode number?
If you, 62. If you were to... If,
62. We can finish on 569.
Yes.
We can do that.
We can do that. They can't stop us.
So,
can't lay off people who have already been laid off.
As people have gleaned from context clues... At the start of this podcast, if you don't follow us on Twitter, we've had a bit of a day here. We've had an interesting little day at Waypoint, maybe one that we've been preparing all of us since the day we started at Waypoint. so we know the hour and day of our death effectively. Like June 2nd, Waypoint is done. We are all being laid off. Fortunately, that's a month away. So rather than losing my job all at once, rather than all of us losing our jobs, we all went to bed yesterday and we were employed and then we woke up and we weren't, we at least have a month and, you know, we are going to get severance at the end of this. We have time to prepare, but we do find ourselves in the odd position of now knowing the journey is coming to coming to its end.
Real Majora's Mask situation. Like, the moon is just there.
Moving quick, ever closer. Someone find the fucking Song of Time. Fuck.
That's not that, but it's one of them.
Is that the sound the moon makes? Majora's Mask that draws closer?
I wish.
That's very jaunty. That'd be a hell of an apocalypse.
Yeah.
If, like, every day you're closer to the end of the world and you like it's circus music is getting a little bit louder.
Well, that's the issue is the people that don't seem to realize that it's happening. So they're just playing they're having a festival. They're getting set up for their festival.
That is accurate as the setting. We should say we obviously, and we'll get into like how we feel about this and it sucks for a billion different reasons, but, also must recognize that we're actually more fortunate than a lot of people at this company who do not get the grace period of a little bit of time. The axe that's been swinging around at a lot of places has come here as well. And while obviously I wish things were different, there are a lot of folks here that we've been affected in the same sort of sweep that are going to be, you know, trying to find their footing much faster than we are being asked to do. And so I'm both fortunate and thankful in that regard to have the little extra breathing room, but also recognize that's sadly not the case for like so many super talented people that are caught up in economic. What are we calling them? Economic headwinds.
Headwinds.
Yeah. That is the phrase that I keep seeing headwinds everywhere, it sounds like we've replaced recession with economic headwinds because
the recession didn't quite show up. Right. And so then they're just like, the headwinds are stiffening. And so we still need to fire you.
I've licked my finger and layoffs appear to be blowing in the wind.
Over 100, may I add, I believe at Vice. There was over 100 people, I believe, that were laid off at Vice across. Is that not accurate, Patrick?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a you know, definitely, I don't know what we call a mass layoff, but it feels, you know, in that vicinity, it is bigger than, you know, ones I've been associated with in the past, which are usually, oftentimes layoffs are targeted, right? Like it's a team or it's like something that falls out of favor with sort of an executive level or like a shift in direction. You know, as people have pointed out, and we've just kind of we see your tweets, we see your concern. Like, you know, the company you work for has been going through a lot of economic headwinds, as they might call them. And you know, this is a bit of a chop off your arm to save the body situation. And we're an arm or a leg. I don't know. What does everyone want to be? Well, if you had to chop off a body part, but in like a good way, like, I love you, body part.
I can't answer this question.
I would say,
like, you want to like cuddle it. Like, it's like a, oh, I can get closer.
Oh, I definitely don't want to do that.
Can I have all my toes? I'm going to have all my toes in a little,
I think,
little
Barrett,
cozy bucket.
I think Barrett had the right idea. gun, you know, arm? Like, you know, you dump that forearm and you get a gun.
I could see myself Violet Evergardening it. Like, if, like, take one of them, you know, take one of the arms, give me a cool robot hand. It doesn't have to work. It just has to be pretty.
Yeah.
I have to admit something. What Ren said was very, very funny. I just didn't know how appropriate it was for me to laugh incredibly hard at it. So yeah, I just like froze. I froze like a deer in the headlights because I was like, is that a joke for me to laugh at hysterically on pod? It did. The joke didn't die. It was just like the room was like, oh.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging my service.
I think leg below the knee, maybe, you know, get one of those swoops.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, the swoops are really cool to look at least.
Yeah.
So some things we don't know. You might be thinking, hey, guys, I bought like 2 years of Waypoint Plus. I am paid up through 2025. I don't think we can make that right for you. We're gonna
Right now, you know, the folks that would help us accomplish that are also busy dealing with a lot of the fallout and consequences of today for a lot of other people who are like, we're in a, you know, this period where we've got some time to kind of tidy up, you know, the last weeks of Waypoint, and that will include addressing or looking into what happens with the money you have so graciously. I mean, the reason we made it this far has been in a huge part of folks like yourself, everyone listening, you know, backing us. And we want to do right by you, but also I think part of what Rob is getting at is trying not to overpromise of like, ideally we will do right by all of you, knowing like that after June 2nd, there will cease to be, you know, formal Waypoint content coming out of the channels you subscribe to.
I just know we've always been able to like reverse charges for people like within a week when they're like, I didn't really want to auto renew or something. Right. But for people who re-upped during the big sale, I actually don't know what is in our power to do for sales that cleared back in December.
Right. So we're going to look into that. And so give us a little bit of time. I get in the short term, like, don't sign up anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you could definitely do that part, you know, make sure you're not getting auto renewed or anything like that. It's not going to reverse anything. Like, we have all had exit interviews. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there were people in positions, the people who actually could do things to change things weren't able to change anything that fought on our behalf earlier today. And so that money would be better spent supporting other creator, you know, just find another home for it. For the time being, it's not going to change anything at the current circumstance. Right.
Also, I will say that we should have this turned off by then. But if it's not, cancel your Twitch sub. We don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quit that.
Everything must go, and by everything we mean you and your sub money.
Wait.
Okay.
Did we get the
Hold on. I think, are you talking about the store? Kato, can we do like an everything must go sale? Can we do like a heavy, heavy sale on the merch?
Yeah.
Before we're out of here?
Yeah.
Because that money's not going to us.
We can do whatever we want. Well,
can I tell you a little secret that I know? One of the things that happened at another media publication that had a store that shut down was for, I believe, 15 minutes, there was released a 99% off code before the keys to that account were taken away.
Amazing.
And I thought that was very funny.
I definitely know that there's a limit due to our distributor, how much we can put a discount on, but there is a discount that we could figure something out.
We'll
sure.
look into that as well.
Yeah.
That would be something that the finances of that are like neither here nor there, and whether that like goes to us or whatever it does, like none of this stuff, like the subs on Twitch or Plus, like none of that like ever actually like directly goes into a direct deposit account for any of us.
Yeah.
Like that is mixed up into the general accounting of the website, and that also applies to the merch. But you know, I know that some people may want an opportunity to get something before, like, I'm not sure that store will ever turn off necessarily, but like it might like go like decrepit and not function anymore because nobody's looking at it. And so while we still have time, we would definitely we'll look into providing an opportunity for people who want to get you know, one last mug.
Mm-hmm. What would the discount code be? Because honestly, I could do this. I could turn on the
less
sale.
Point? Taking Ren's joke?
Less point.
Way more mug?
Way
more mug?
Way more. Way less point.
I think,
you know what? Read, you know, listeners, write in.
Yeah,
what would be the most, what would be the most upsetting promo code we could do for this situation? I think you can beat anything we can bring
That's
up.
True. That's true.
Kato. How hard would it be to make a mug that has the little carrot and then just says the word less?
Oh, easy.
Pointing towards the logo.
Yeah, did you see?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I can just replace that.
Can we
talk about that?
Can you do that little Photoshop, and then can I be that what I put on the Waypoint social account in like 40 minutes?
Yeah. I got it.
Thanks.
So
don't cry too hard while you make it.
So just because I want to talk about this, because it was very odd how all this unfolded. So I woke up a bit late this morning, and I'd only been up for a little bit when I look at my phone, and Patrick's like, "We got some very upsetting emails, but we're all fine. I talked to some people, like the team's fine. We're gonna come through this." And then we all sit in on a meeting where it's the same executives that as always is, who are like laying off huge portions of their team.
That was
and they're
meeting?
Doing the whole there's a daily stand up for all of news.
Oh, okay.
That gets really attended during times of turmoil, which is basically all we've had of late. And so it's the same cast of people. We're saying the same things, and it's like, this is a very hard day. You know, we'd love to tell you more, but we really have to be respectful of the people we're firing. So we can't tell you more about what's going on right now. And so that was grim. And it seemed pretty bad. I will say this, like before, like things actually took the turn for us personally, Patrick, you and I were DMing. We were like, do we feel as good about these reassurances for this one in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Cause the vibe was really bad. The vibe was like, the moon has crashed into the festival at Vice HQ.
Yeah, the ocarina has a crack in it, and it's not making the music to go back in time anymore.
And so I'm like, okay, that sucked, but like just about time to start with my day. And then Patrick drops into the chat, "Hey, I just lost my job. You should check your emails."
Yeah.
And lo and behold, there was my notice of termination. And this is where things get really, really bizarre. We were not supposed, this was not supposed to happen to us. Nah. Last the people that we usually deal with had heard, this is why we've been given reassurances. So we entered this limbo period of like our bosses trying to figure out like what are they doing on the execution list? How did Robespierre find out about them? And so it's like there was this funny hour of like, are we fully fired? And then it was like, yes, yes, you are. You are fully fired. But hey, not for a month. And have some severance, which is a godsend. But it was like, this is my first layoff. Never happened to me. You know, that's the power of being a freelancer. You can't.
I was gonna say you've spent your career
fired.
Yeah, you spent your career majority freelance. This is my second it was funny because I was worried this was gonna happen during like various other, you know, like ups and downs of working at a media company. Vice is not unique to this, and I was chatting with somebody and I said, like, well, I've only been formally laid off once, and my wife was like, yeah, but you've left several jobs where all you did was dodge that before it happened. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's kind of like getting laid, you know. The first one was at MTV. I got laid off during the 2008 financial crisis, where I was what called a permalancer, which means you negotiate a salary, but you're paid as a contractor, so they don't have to pay you any benefits. And that was the first thing to go when the floor fell out of the financial markets and the ad markets. And fortunately, my editor at the time, Steven Totillo, who's over at Axios now, was like in a meeting when they're like, yeah, those permalancers are all gone. We're not going to tell them for 2 weeks, though. And he was like, hey, you don't have a job in 2 weeks. Like, go find, because they still wanted to grind content out of those people without telling them that they were about to lose their jobs. so I got very fortunate in having a boss that recognized how crummy that was. And then other times, you know, like I escaped to the Gawker stuff when the bankruptcy proceedings were going as a result of the Hulk Hogan case. And then I find myself here formally getting the layoff, getting the email. I've never gotten an email like so formal, just all ooh.
I have been in this industry for a very short time, both full stop and also comparatively. And I would describe every single place I've been at as feeling like a brick building burning, to varying degrees. And so, like, you know,
you're just touching that wall. Does it feel warm to you?
Does it feel warm to you? I wonder how what's happening in that room. I'm not going to think about that. I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think I said as much in one of my initial interviews with Waypoint, where I was like, yeah, I can tell that the media industry is like quite literally about to collapse in on itself. Like, we're about to lose the structure of the brick building. There are pillars that need to be there that are going away.
Yeah, it's always just hard to tell. It's like, I mean, it's gotten worse and worse over the, you know, the two decades I've done it, where the cycle happens faster. And even when it does bounce back, it bounces back in the sense that there are jobs, but fewer jobs than there were before. And then also a lot of the folks that might have wanted them or had them before have moved on to something else more stable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see that happen, the process there. Oh, geez, you'll have to edit this one last interview, Kato, that I did with one of the folks who works on Minecraft. It was delightful. But the person, this happens a lot if you've been in this industry long enough, like the person who was coordinating, the PR person coordinating the interview for the person I wanted to talk to was an ex games writer. And as that interview was getting set up, we were doing the kind of technical stuff. They joked like, you might be here sometime soon. And I was like, oh, yeah, talk to me in 6 months. 24 hours later. Damn, that was fast. Time to go work at Assembly, the Xbox PR firm. And I will set up your Minecraft interview, sir.
So do any of us want to stay in media?
Yeah. Structurally, no.
Yeah, it's
what
it's
our day, like, what our day to day was. Yeah, I liked our job.
It was a very special day to day, though, yeah, by media industry standards. But
yes,
I think there's a couple things going back to what's happening in media right now. There's a bit of, I think one of the reasons this all like gets so volatile is so much of investment that's happened in media in the last decade has been people chasing huge acquisition sales, like huge amounts of, like, basically, you know, the Vice model was, we are going to pour you know, capital over a media company and like supercharge it. And then we're going to sell for a fortune. And that like actually could have happened. It's just that they weren't going to sell for the fortune they wanted. They were going to sell for a smaller fortune. And ever since then, it's been kind of like chasing the dawning realization of the people around the company that like yesterday's fake price is not today's real market price. And the company sort of limping along as the entire strategy didn't really pan out. And I think that's what's happening in a lot of sort of this last wave of big media companies where, you know, in the news a lot this week, there's been the big Bed Bath & Beyond bankruptcy that's been unfolding. And it feels like what's happening is that even in places where you could look at it and you say, well, it feels like there should be a way to get some sort of like fundamentally sound company out of this. There are a lot of like companies that end up in a position of we are now throwing good, like it's they're behind, they're gamblers behind at the tables and they're trying to make it like catch up through big bets. And that's kind of how it's felt. Like, I think for me, I guess I'm less doomer pilled about media in general, but the problem I see is that so many of the shops that remain are fundamentally being operated with an eye toward really unsustainable models, right? Yeah. Like really irresponsible expectations of return. And in the process of chasing those, any possibility of achieving what was sustainable and what was feasible kind of gets blown up. And I think
what does sustainable mean, right? Like, I think that is often the key question with a lot, like, was BuzzFeed, for example, not making money or not making enough money at a growth pace within it? You know what I mean? Like, sustainable is Waypoint Plus, right? Like, that was the whole pitch. It's like, hey, it's steady. The money comes in. The audience is always going to be there. And no, it's not going to have the peaks and valleys, but it's going to hum along pretty well, and it's reliable. That's not how business works.
That's
though.
Not what, like, firms want. Yeah,
right. Like it may be reliable, and that can be important, but it's not the end game for how a lot of this works out. So you can make something that is profitable and sustainable, but those are not necessarily compatible with the end games that folks are looking for. Depending on why they invested in the company or what their own personal end goal is for the institution as a whole. And that's, you know, when people say you can't make money in media, I mean, it is hard. It's very hard to make money in media. But even when you do, it's that you don't make enough, that you're not increasing. Like, it's not enough to make money. It's not enough to just pay the people you have, right? Like, that's been the success of a place like Defector spinning off from Deadspin, right? Is that, you know, those people from, you know, outside looking in seem to have more or less paid people roughly they were paying before and have been able to hire like slowly, but it's not exponential growth. It's like, let's be happy and pay people so they can live their lives. And can we then also just then turn around and like do good shit? And like, can't that be enough? It's like, no, it can't.
I mean, like, I also think the problem is that, like, I think that the gambler analogy is very good. A gambler behind insofar as, like, there is a desperation to, like, the chasing of, like, damn, someone else just won big. Let me go over to that table. And, like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, going over to the table that they were playing at doesn't actually do anything.
And they're at every table now, right, is kind of the problem too. Is like, it's actually, it feels like it's getting harder to dodge that mindset.
And like, I also think that, like, you know, the ad based model is increasingly, when I look at it, I don't run a business. However, when I look at the ad based model, I do see something that is like becoming progressively less reliable, and like it feels like people are realizing that ads as a business, and like specifically like media ads, are built on a bit of a false promise.
It's the one thing about that is so hard to tell though is when you look at like total ad spend, like the ad money is out there. It's just that like companies like Google absorb such a huge share of total ad spend in media before it ever gets to any companies producing content. And I think is it the ad model is broken, or is it that the like ad market consolidated? I don't always know. But in response to that consolidation, I think there've been a lot of things done that make the experience of like being a consumer of media infinitely worse. Like, I'll be honest with you, I don't love trying to read an article on my website and after 5 seconds, the entire screen is obscured by an invitation to sign up for an email.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you my favorite our website fact? Mm. I can't hang on a page for more than 30 seconds without it crashing. So I have to read a little bit and then refresh it before the page dies and completely grinds my browser to a halt. Yeah,
that's spectacular.
You're rebooting that computer now these days, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. But it's still happening.
Yes, it's still happening. If I let that sit for like,
you may or may not have done a little bit of permanent damage on the way out.
Who's to say?
So, but as far as like, the answer is, I don't know. Like, I have no idea what jobs are out there right now. And there's some that I'm like, I don't know if I like. There are some things where I'm like, I don't know if that sounds like good at this point to me in my life. So that's another part of it where, I think, 10 years ago, certainly I'd have been thrilled to get like a news writer gig. But like, that's not where my interests lie anymore. So it's tough. I think like there's a lot to figure. Like, we got a month to think about this, thank God, because there's a lot of angles like this. Like, to a degree, there's the whole like, well, what you guys should do is you should take Waypoint, you should take it to Patreon and just like take it all over there. And it's like, let me tell you the difference between like working for a big company and having like something like Waypoint Plus versus like going into business together with your colleagues for a thing that like you don't really know what the return is going to be, what the workload is going to be. And now you're like signed up to just like be shoulder to shoulder, open ended. That's like it's starting a business, different thing than like working for a company. It's going to like handle a lot of the admin overhead.
Yeah. And like, I will say, like, we do need health insurance. Like everyone here needs health insurance, and paying for health insurance, even for like a small business, is really fucking hard. And
you can have a wildly successful Patreon, and that doesn't mean that insurance companies are going to buy into like that number and make it easy for you to sign up. That is
right. You can't. There may not even be like. Yes, you go on. There are good plans on the market, but you still may not be able to get like the rate that a big company was able to get on the kind of coverage that we have right now. Like, yeah. You might be like, okay, well, I've got money. What's again? You know, I see what it costs Vice to get this this kind of insurance coverage. What's going to cost me? It might be a different number. It might be a very different number. So it's like things like that make decisions like that really complicated and scary. So like, you know, it's fortunately we have a month to think about what comes next. We have a month to do all sort of, like, already I'm doing the fun thing. I was just out with my dog. I was doing the whole like, what are my candles in terms of the personal budget, right? Like, and unfortunately, it's like, I don't think cutting all the streaming services is really going to make a huge difference to the old monthly bottom line.
Nope.
So what are we actually looking at doing differently with our lives to make all this work? And it's not long.
As Rob comes off a day where he just published a 3,000 word.
Okay. So now it might strike people as very ironic that I published a 3,000 word explainer about my OLED Flex. Yes, I saw you. It's a prodigious great screen, is it not? I saw you admiring it across the room. Let me tell you about its wonders. I published a review of my OLED Flex, and mostly because it was like, no, like, I wish I'd read this review before I bought it, because basically, like, nobody told me the important things I needed to know about this review, so I did it. But there's a degree of irony to having that piece go up. And I'm like, this thing is really expensive and impractical, but, you know, it's pretty cool. And then it's like, you're fired and you can't have things like that. But here's the thing. That decision was made not only with that fully in mind, but let me tell you about MK's position on all this. I don't know if I'm employed here in like 3 months. And she was like, then we should really get you the display you want, because after you get fired, there's no way you'll be able to get what you want. And I was like, yes, I love that logic.
What? That's nothing.
Oh my God.
You just
so much of your life clicks into place knowing that exchange. When we've you know, had discussions on this podcast that maybe we got to get MK in the room, slide her a letter. We don't.
No, like, MK's these in are the enablers. Room with us.
When Rob speaks, MK answers. And like, you know, I'm over here being like, Rob said all those words, and I'm like, well, time to find some shady websites to watch the rest of the playoffs, because YouTube TV's $78 is going out the fucking door the moment I get off this call.
Yeah, there was very much a smoke them if you got them. And since we got them right now, fuck it. Smoke Buy them. That bendy screen, big man.
I will say this. I thought really hard about picking up a Steam Deck over the last few months. And then I went, no, you're fucking not. No, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. I thought I was going to justify it as a work expense. And then I had the conversation with myself that you had, Rob, where you said, I don't know if I'm going to be here in 3 months. And then I decided no. I decided the answer was no, actually. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, like, your phone made it 6 weeks, right?
Oh, my God. So the phone is still working. So let me...
What did you do to your phone?
Jack shit phone. What? I hate this fucking phone. It's fine. You might need to
bring it closer. It actually looks okay.
Every corner is cracked, and the cracks are like going into the middle of the phone. Once the corners of the phone are cracked,
wait, isn't that just a screen replacement?
Did you get a case?
Yeah, I can get a screen replacement. I also hate this fucking phone. It's fine. I'm gonna get the screen replaced.
Hey, Kato's asking a good question that all of America is asking.
Sorry, did I get a case?
Is that a naked phone?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! No wonder it's fucking broken.
Well, no. I will also
Ren
say
was trying to arrange its death.
The pixel. No,
this
I
is
wasn't
like
trying to,
this is well, like a little Ren, bit. Like Ren is the femme fatale in like a 1930s like detective movie where like, uh-huh. Oh, I don't know what happened to my phone. I sent it out on the Cliff Road to bring me back some tweets, and she cut the brakes.
I will say this: this phone is perfectly weighted. To fall off of any fucking surface you put it on. And it's incredible. It's incredible. This phone's ability to throw itself off of surfaces onto the ground.
Even
I think it's actually
more
really
of a reason to get a... If you know it's going to happen,
at least
protect it.
Because
it's got
this slippery fucking, like, enameled case.
Yeah, it's awful. I hate this fucking phone so much.
That's why you need to put the case on it.
The case on it so it doesn't slip.
I hate this fucking phone.
Ren
you can get an OtterBox that has a pop socket built in.
If this phone fucking dies,
it's amazing.
Then I can just
spin my phone.
My flip phone. I can get my foldy phone.
I can't. The problem is that I can't. That's not how the phone insurance works. Makes me so fucking mad. I hate this
phone insurance
so much. Yeah, I got insurance for my phone because I drop
like
shit like
Apple
all
Care
the time.
Stuff. Yeah. I mean, that stuff exists.
Buy Apple.
It's like this beer exists and I'm open and I'm putting into my mouth.
I just
drinking a beer. So I got to pick lighter. Is that High Life?
It's Miller Lite. I got to pick up my kids after this. But you know, I was
Your Honor.
Your Honor.
Yeah. I got laid off today, and I had one Miller Lite. I'm open to the idea of doing something else. I think if there was ever a point in my life to do something different that was like to use the same skill set in a different direction, it is probably now. But what's interesting is like the position I arrive at myself or like my most financially useful thing I can do, right, is this like personality bent that has happened over the last like 10-ish years of like I mostly wrote for the first half of my career and then transitioned to being on podcasts and streams and like wanting to attract like a following on a place like Twitter. But like I don't get even, and I'm so grateful for the folks that seem to like the stuff that I do into a microphone. I get way more satisfaction personally out of doing like a 500-word news blog that I hit publish on than like almost any podcast I do. And that is like nothing to do with the people I'm with, like the content, but like I started as a writer and I've adapted functionally for the job. But at the end of the day, like the 3,000 word feature that I wrote last week about like Chromebooks is like the high I get from publishing that is just like, I can't, nothing else matches that. And so then the question becomes like, can I get that same satisfaction in a more sustainable job? Like, can you do that kind of like writing and like thinking through things, but what you're publishing is like an internal memo as opposed to something you hope claws its way up a Reddit or a Dig or something like that. I don't know. I think Rob and I were talking about this earlier this week before we had any inkling. You know, like the vibes were bad, but we not any like insight.
For
that
weeks,
it's
been a series of like things are not good at the company, but I think we will all get through this type meetings.
Well, because we've gotten through so many of them before. Like, we've been very fortunate in that regard. But one of the things that you and I were talking about, Rob, was the longer you're at a place and the more like insular you get into largely talking to your coworkers and things like that, you forget if you have any actual value or worth. Mm-hmm. Like 6 years, and this is as long as I've been at any job. Giant Bomb before that was like 4-ish years. 6 years is 6.5 years is a long time to be at any one company. And I come out of this, maybe people look at me and it's like, damn, you've been doing this for a long time. And I was like, yeah, I have. And I think maybe I might be worthless and not like have anything to offer anymore. Like, am I just able to like talk to this one audience and that is the measure of my worth? Does anyone think I can do? And I don't know. Like every time I've lost a job or had to transition, you know, you talk to people and you find out like, oh my gosh, like really like what you do. Didn't know you were available. And like, I don't know if that's going to be it's a much worse market out there right now than it ever has been before. But that is like one of those weird things that happens over time is that you kind of just keep doing the thing that's in front of you. And it's like, shit, am I even capable of doing anything else? Mm-hmm. And so where I sit now is like, I feel fairly worthless, even though I know that is not true because it's just like, this is all I've ever done for the last 6 years. And now it's just being taken away from me. Like that makes you feel like shit, quite frankly.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
It's almost, I don't know if it's worse or better on the other end of just like, I've been doing this for 4 years. Just like, I'm not sure. This was a recent change for me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, this was your first, like, real job into this.
Yeah.
You know, but you and Ren both. Ren short. Well, I mean, Ren, you were at Fanbyte before, but I mean,
in like, Kotaku.
But all told, it's a short period.
Yeah, it's 3 years.
It's a period. A short period of time is broadly what I mean.
I will also say that, like, I mean, in my case, the one thing I can say and that I've, like, told myself for a really long time is that, like, I didn't wake up and was like, I want to be a games writer. I want to work in games media. That like career impulse never fucking happened. I never said like that. This is the career that I want. It was more just like, I really loved writing about games. And like, I mean, I got my first piece published through sheer luck, right? Like I did not pitch the first piece I had published. It was because a Medium blog that no longer exists, like one of the Medium publications that no longer exists, the editor-in-chief saw that piece and sent me an email saying, can I give you $250 for this? And then I said, yeah. And that is how I actually got sort of like being paid for writing, was like a stroke of luck. I would have been doing it regardless. And I think that like part of the thing that I've come around on is that like, I don't think I've ever been much of a blogger. Like, I don't think I have the blogger spirit. I don't think I have a blogger spirit within me. And that is something that I've come to terms with over the course of the last like 2 years, is looking inside of myself and going, I don't think I got it. I don't, I'm a solid essayist. I don't know if I'm a blogger, because I'm not good at having takes every day. That's a lot of takes. I think I'm tired of having takes. And like, I don't know. I didn't do this to become like to do games media as a career. I just really love doing this. And if I cannot find a gig that lets me do the work that I'm excited about, which, I mean, looking at the market and like looking at the industry right now, I probably will never find another gig that lets me do the thing that I want to do. And so like, I don't know. I don't know. I think this is it.
In terms, I don't know, is like a good way to summarize it. I think that's how we all feel right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's it is a lot to take. You know, here's the weird thing. You're gonna hear this group of people process this in real time a lot over the next month.
Like, this not is as unusual. Much not as much as we should be like we you know we're trying to keep this shortish and because we still haven't like announced things on Twitter and I want to give people a chance to do that before the evening gets around, but like we're still here, we're gonna do stuff, but we're not as much stuff as we did before.
Ren, say the thing.
There's going to be significantly less point than there was previously.
Way less point, I think, from right here.
Right.
Well, especially because, Patrick, you're being paid out your severance, right? You're paid out. Sorry. You're being paid out your PTO.
Yes. Not until June, though.
I am not.
Excuse me?
Because Massachusetts. Robin. So this is a state law thing.
Oh.
I am not being paid out my PTO.
You're going to take vacation during this time? Bye-bye to us? It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Patrick, unless you would like to pay me some of your PTO money.
How much PTO do I get?
No, but like,
that's wild. Yeah. Like, so you're just going to leave for all of May?
No, I don't have that much PTO. Patrick, I saw this coming. Like, whenever a day like this happens, I like to comfort myself with the knowledge that I saw it coming all along. And so I checked.
You do like your little random, it'll be like a Monday and Rob has given nobody a heads up. And it's just like, I'm taking the next 4 days off. And it's like, wait, what? And like, these will come, this has happened a couple of times where it's just like, this week disagrees with me. I'm taking 4 days. And like, so I guess I see.
Think that's happened.
You don't take 4 days, but Rob, there are definitely times where it just
like
suddenly
one or two,
Rob,
randomly just like.
You make it sound like you told everyone weeks in advance that you were taking time and you just show up on like a Friday afternoon and go, I just don't think I'm going to be around Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And it's like, okay.
Well, hold on. If it was on the calendar, then it isn't
Rob,
my fault.
You send the invites to our podcast recordings like the night before. You cannot claim the calendar as some omnipotent being. God.
Look, I can't. Hey, future employers, don't believe Patrick's lies. I'm very conscientious, and I don't just peace out when I get PTO balances, but I will this month because
you have taken time. Okay, I guess yes. You took a decent amount of time, and the time that we all took, and that was just like the rollovers from the.
Oh my God, you're before. Right. Oh fuck yeah! What?
That was
the time can you I got. I don't. Yeah. Out? Does New York pay out the PTO?
I forgot.
I don't know. Kato, does New York
ask?
I also
so you
to
can
ask.
Email your HR.
I feel like they would have told you because they just told me. I didn't ask, so I feel like they would have told you if that's true. But maybe I'm wrong.
I got other tips. And I got tips and tricks during my exit interview. Tips and
but either way, so like tricks. I will be taking the occasional day off.
Sure.
In this mm-hmm. next month, just so I leave no value on the table, absolutely none. just absolutely like I am getting every scrap I can out of this. But also, like we may just like it may not be quite the cadence that we've had like prior to this,
but not completely disappearing. Like we'll do a big send off, right? Like we will do a big goodbye to Waypoint stream. Like we'll try and rope in some names you would think of to do something. Like there'll be stuff happen, like a new Zelda, like Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out. Like Jesus. When I gotta talk about that,
we're gonna
like,
be Redfall champions. Does that game have champions? Doesn't matter.
They reset Dota. We can get into Dota now because they reset did. Everything
we
in Dota.
We gotta go in.
There's a new map. We have to get in on the new ground floor. Hey,
it turns out, like, I didn't know this, but, like, Dota signaled Dota's New Horizons update was assigned to all of us.
Yeah.
It is time to break from your rut.
Time to be.
And that rut is gainful employment.
Oh, my God.
So there'll be stuff happening. It just, you know, will it be 2 full podcasts a week? It depends sometimes on how we're feeling. It depends what obligations people have as they're balancing their futures and their present. I'm very thankful that we have the extra time and breathing room, but it does very obviously make the whole process a little strange. Given that we our primary business model is a subscription product that has been eliminated. So it's weird. I think we're going to embrace the weird. And I think the MO is to enjoy the time we have left.
Yeah.
And in however form that will manifest.
Y'all
got to
fucking finish Dead Space.
We
you're
will.
Too close
I just
to
think
the
we're maybe
end.
Not going
to
ask you to do it tomorrow.
System
close
shock.
To the end.
You got to.
System. Sure.
You got to finish System Shock. I mean, Kato's going to be spending every day for the next 6 weeks on their personal accounts streaming 1 hour of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Hey, do you want to know where you're going to be able to find us on Twitch after June 2nd? Well, follow twitch.tv/waypoint to learn some other cool account names.
Kato _ appears on Twitch.
So, all right. God. It's going to be a weird month.
Yeah.
Might be a fun month.
Yeah.
We'll see
how
it goes.
We'll have some fun on the way out, for sure.
We absolutely
will.
We're
good at doing that, at least. Having fun.
I think we should finish on 569.
What?
I think we should finish on 569. I think
I'm
possible.
Worried Elon might have killed 69.
That's right.
Was my
you're
worry.
Right. You're right.
I kind of sometimes worry. Like,
don't give him that power. That's not. We need to
take it back.
Hold on.
Reclaiming 69.
As the funny, yes, as the funny internet sex number. Specifically internet. That's where that came in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's what made it funny.
No, I think Rob might be right.
We'll just start numbering. We'll skip some numbers. It'll be fine. We'll get there.
So, covering some other... Patrick, you're holding that Minecraft interview, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to ask Kato to yeah, I mean...
But we're not segue. We're not doing a segue. No. So anyway, no! We're all laid off. But here's...
Have a cool one, guys. Later. Classic Waypoint sign off.
We will hold that to next week. It was a fun interview with someone who works on Minecraft and talking about kids and stuff like that. But we don't know. We're not going to... We'll hold that content, Rob.
So there's just like... One last bit of business, just talking about the reviews. Pat, you wrote a piece that actually went over surprisingly well. I was very pleased how well it was received, talking about Jedi Survivor. We're going to talk a lot more about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about the actual game next
week.
When
we're not talking about being laid off. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I did just want to talk about, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people read the piece, and if you haven't, you should, especially because, like, future employers, you should know that, like, it was in a much rougher state before it went live on the website, and I was like, chef kisses work.
Wow, now, wow, he writes an intro to my piece, and he
served up some good ingredients. But let me tell you, who sprinkle a little Tabasco sauce over the top? Is that what chefs do? I think
so. Tabasco specifically.
Going to my 5-star restaurant where the chef comes to the table and says,
Say when.
But because the funny thing was, though, Patrick, like,
oh my God, they're wetting my dries.
Draft, like, it was a situation where you were left in kind of a weird situation with just how this all had unfolded. Like,
I wasn't sure what piece to write. And so the piece that, you know, you helped me find a better framing device for, like, the bits that I had, which was just like, I don't know what to write. So I'm just going to write how I don't know what to write. And then hopefully that will be like coherent or interesting to anybody.
Well, it's very funny. You opened it as a straight up review, and then midway through, it's like you were like, "Oh, but actually,
I felt bad about this." I felt bad. A lot of the times, like, I knew this piece was actually going to get edits, and I wanted it to. And when I know a piece is going to get edits, it's like write it confidently with like one version of it, and then just know that a smart person is going to look at it and go, eh. And like, I had a version that put the, like, hey, the navel gazy, like, let's talk about the industry game review stuff right at the top. I was like, are people going to want that? Maybe I should just do like some of the game stuff at the top and then I'll transition to it. And then smartly you identified that it was better to just start with the navel gazy stuff. Sorry, Ren.
I just want to say, I really respect that you wrote a review with an anxiety disorder. And then you handed it to Rob.
Well, when one did,
there was the amount of circular hand wringing that began to develop of like, but can we review this? This is sort of like fucked up TV critic stuff. But weird things happen with this. Like, this wasn't just a, like, in the review you mentioned that like you were playing the game and you weren't having like it seemed cool, but it was one of those experiences where you had tons of caveats because like the game seemed kind of janky and fucked up, and then a patch dropped.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of, you know, we'll talk about the game itself next week, but like you were playing it as well, and the frame rate issues, the hitching issues, the screen tearing issues are really prominent in that game, especially in like the big open world stuff. And I have a high tolerance for frame rate drops. Like, I can kind of just deal with it, but it was one of those things where I know that I'd be okay to continue playing this game. And it's the weird part of a reviewer. Who are you writing for? Are you writing for yourself and your personal reaction? Or are you writing for an audience and how you think people are going to react to it? And then where do you find yourself like in between those two things? Like, I know I'd be fine if this game never got any better technically, but I know that this is bad enough that you wouldn't want to mention it and sort of caveat it to some degree. And then in addition to that, lots of games get patches during the review process. That is always almost always the case these days. There is always a day zero, day one patch, day negative, like there's that stuff is so frequent. It is odd when you don't have that happen during review process. Yeah. It's less frequent to have, like, and I had to make sure and tell Kyle, I was like, hey, make sure you read the fine print on this because they're really making a point of it on this one. It was like, hey, play it offline and like turn off automatic downloads because a big patch is coming and we think it could break everything. So like, you don't, the patch that's going to make the game better, you don't want it. don't download that shit. And so I was like, all right, so I'm having an experience that is fundamentally different from the one people will have when the game comes out. I am artificially limiting how much I'm playing because I'm trying to figure out how much I should play because maybe I'm about to start over. And then even if I just keep playing and say, screw it, I'll give it a shot when the patch comes out and maybe it'll be fine. Like, okay, then I've just increased the amount of time I have to replay or not play the game at all. Yeah. And so it's like, I got to the end of it.
And then something else
that's
going to affect your fucking enjoyment.
Well, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I was imagining, like, what if I was 35 hours into this game, an upload comes through, maybe I forgot to turn off the automatic downloads, and it bricks your save before an editor wanted you to finish. I mean, like, it left the game in a weird spot where I don't blame the developers because this is the process where a game gets finished, goes off to shipment, and then they start working on these day zero, day one patches to make the game better. That is just the cycle we're in, for better or worse. The PR people were super communicative. They were like, told me exactly the state of the game. Like, there was no cover. Like, they were super nice. And when I would ask, like, how high do the bar do you think that is that it's going to break the save? They're like, we don't know. We don't think it's going to happen, but we're being overly cautious because if that was to happen to someone, it would make us feel terrible. It's like, great. That's what you should do in this situation. But then when it comes down to, what am I supposed to tell people how I feel about this game? Do you want me to describe the game that doesn't exist anymore because it only existed when I played it? I don't know. And so I was glad. I've actually heard from several developers that worked on the game that were like, hey, totally cool how you acknowledge that. We thought you were, empathetic to our situation and your own. And I was like, great. That's how I wanted the piece to land. Was like, I didn't really feel like I was pointing fingers at anyone in specifically, other than more broadly, I wish, you know, reviewers got earlier times with games, or that outlets had blanket policies where, hey, we're just not going to hit the embargo. We're going to let people play at a normal pace and finish it. But we don't run a I'm not IGN. Like, we're not, we don't run a ton of reviews. So yeah. Us announcing a policy is not going to impact the games industry. We're out here just asking, like, where's our Redfall code? And they're like, I don't know. Fell off a truck. And
well, we lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it's one of the things, because I was thinking about this. Is it a, an easy person to blame is like probably the publisher, but this is one of those cases where, like, the steps involved in releasing a game get kind of tricky too, right? Like, you know, passing cert is, you know, I think somebody mentioned
it's platform holders, right? Yeah. Like on PC, if you review games on PC and they're a PC focused title, you often have less issues because Steam, they just issue the patch. They just patch is ready, send it through, goes to, you know, your individual Steam account. You know, you can have a patch ready. I don't know when this patch was done, right? Like, it could have been done weeks ago. It could have been, there's easily a world in which this patch that makes the game certifiably better, largely run at 60 frames a second, you know, it's still got issues, but it's a much better experience. That could have been done when I got that code, but they can't give me that patch because Microsoft and Sony have to approve it. And in theory, Microsoft and Sony are doing the right thing by players by trying to protect them from patches that are going to corrupt their stuff. But I think they should broadly, I wish those policies didn't exist or much more lax, or at least for like reviewers, just like, yo, just send them. Send them the early access shit. They're used to it because I think it ends up, you end up like being too permissive to games that actually are problems because you just have to assume that the promises being made to you about how the game's going to get better are going to happen. Kind of what happens when you preview a game. Yeah. You try to grant it the best pot, like, well, it could do this, it could do that. We don't know. We'll see when we play the whole thing. But you don't want that to be happening when people's money is on the line. Well, and sometimes
it gets really unexpectedly worse. Like, I saw all my colleagues who reviewed Paradox's Victoria 3 go through this, where about a week after it came out, apparently the game was, like, pretty badly broken in a lot of ways. And everyone who played the review build was like, I don't know what to tell you. This isn't the game we played. Like, for whatever reason, like, the game worked better in a number of ways, not just like performance wise, but like mechanically. Like, there were things that, like, systems were functioning better in this like review build that then really quickly when the game was out in the wild weren't. And so that was a case of, like, at the very least you expect, well, after release, you know, we're from a good baseline here. After release, surely it'll be, you know, what the public's going to play is going to be better. Sometimes it is not. And then you really look like an asshole for extending that bit of benefit of the doubt. I need to interrupt. What, Kato had to step away to get something from the door and then was holding a bag and then gave the camera a look of dismay as they hefted the bag in their hands.
Kato, what was in the bag?
What's in the bag, Kato?
So it's 5:06 p.m. Eastern time. At some point, I would say probably around 1.
Are you marking like a dead bot?
Kato has our... No, I think Kato's got the code delivery.
At some point...
Redfall showed up.
Redfall... Oh, Red something.
Why'd they fill these plastic shopping bags with novelty blood? But it looked like something was oozing.
Yeah. I ordered a burrito from a local place because I was like, I don't want to cook lunch. I'm freaking out.
And at 5. Sorry, do you order this at 1?
Yeah.
Wait. Your 1 o'clock burrito order showed up.
Hold on. So I ordered a burrito with a Jamaica, you know, hibiscus drink. Delicious.
Yeah.
Very deep purple color. Yeah. Some chips, some salsas.
Why'd you explain the color of the Jamaica?
And just now, what, 10 minutes ago, doorbell rang, went down, ran away. And I saw my downstairs neighbor, they're like picking up an Amazon package. And they're like, there's something hanging on the doorknob. Is that yours? And apparently for the last ? Cause who knows? I put in the order at 1. I even forgot about it. You know, that's the kind of day we've been having over here. I forgot to even be mad that I had ordered something and it never showed up. But there it was. And I just opened it. Was like, okay, maybe I'll take some sips of Jamaica and it'll be nice. But the Jamaica cup had been smashed. Yeah. There's a lot of Jamaica in the bag. Let's just say that.
I'm gonna make a request of you.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who didn't watch the last one of our recent streams, mm-hmm. I asked Kato about their moldy bread policy, and it was not good.
Cut that shit out.
You can't. It colonizes the entire loaf. Moving on. I just want to ask you, Kato.
Yeah.
As your friend,
uh-huh.
as your colleague.
Yeah.
Please don't eat that fucking Frito.
What? It's fine. It's cooked. It's been out for like 3 hours, maybe. It's fine. It's already been cooked.
Imagine you're at a family picnic.
Yeah.
And like, you cook something? The grill's off for a little bit, but like, hey, there's still like a couple burritos on the picnic table.
How long is a little bit?
Let's say 2 hours.
Yeah. 3 hours. That food is perfectly safe. You've already
eat up.
You've killed all the bacteria by cooking it. I will say it's a only hot burrito. It doesn't have any cold components in it. It's the type of where it's just rice, beans, cheese, meat, things that have been all cooked down, right? So it's fine.
I'll trust you.
It's fine.
Enjoy your wet Jamaica covered burrito.
It's not. That's wrapped. They luckily wrapped each individual thing in its own little bag.
So now you just got a bag of drink.
Yeah, I've got a bag of drink and then a burrito that survived unscathed, partially unscathed.
I mean, if you're gonna cut the mold off the bread, you might as well cut a hole in the bag.
Let's wrap up this. Let's get the fuck out of here.
But it's wrapped in foil, so it's fine.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of Waypoint Radio. If you want more from Waypoint, which Vice doesn't, you can follow us on Twitter at Waypoint, Facebook, YouTube, Waypoint Vice. You can follow me on Twitter at Rob Zachney. Kato, where can people follow you?
At @A_Kato_appears. Is anyone getting on Blue Sky? What the fuck is up with that?
My boy Jack is starting a new thing, and I want to be a part of it.
I didn't
Get
know.
Me that invite.
Someone tried to send me an invite. I didn't know what they were talking about, and then I have to look it up.
I signed up for it. I don't know what I signed up for. I got an invite. I don't know what.
I'll probably make one just to have one, like my Mastodon that I don't use. I think I lost the password for.
You and me both.
I'm waiting a month and a half. I'm waiting a month and a half. If you fuckers are still on there, maybe.
We're not having a repeat of the Mastodon experience.
I'm not. I didn't do it that time either. I'm not doing it.
I just register the accounts. That's always what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Is I just register
the accounts,
land grab, and then you're referred.
You can follow me at cohost.org/Kato. I got that on there. Don't use
Hell
it.
Yeah.
I haven't posted in over a month. But I might now. Who knows?
I'm going to have so much more time for choasting. It's going to be great.
I'm going to choast every day.
I'm going to choast every day like it's my last. Patrick, where are you going to be choasting? Not on Cohost.
No, I have an account there. I've never used it. No, if you follow me on Twitter, that's probably the best way to get a sense of what I'm up to at Patrick Klopik. I will probably finally use this opportunity to, like, figure out the newsletter that, like, people have been signing up for that I haven't sent anything out to. So which is at patrickklopik.substack.com. I don't know what that is or if I'll flip anything on there, but, you know, I think this will be, like, this month will be a time to kind of experiment and try things.
Why is Substack thriving and Medium is not?
They have lots of network effects going on in Substack where it's developing its own community inside of itself that is...
it's developing a community.
I hear you on, like, all
the...
The
weirdo contrarian, like, slant to Substack sucks, but yeah. No, but it also seems like... It is a place now to go for like a pretty, it's an effective turnkey like newsletter solution. But like Medium was a really effective turnkey blog. Mm. We liked blogs. I liked reading shit on Medium.
Go ahead. I was going to say, from my understanding, what happened to Medium, they poured a bunch of money into Medium to make a bunch of different bespoke verticals. And then all of them failed. And then that kind of did some damage to the whole program.
I mean, if you just think of Substack as more as like Patreon with like a writing focus, I think it makes a lot more sense. And then there's a lot of recommending that's going on and kind of like social stuff that's happening within it that has allowed it to develop kind of its own community, even if there are you know, the grifters throughout.
I mean, listen,
so I don't know what I'll do there, but maybe I'll finally spin one of those up sometime soon.
Enjoy your time on the intellectual dark web, Patrick.
Well, you know, out here writing.
Ren, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ren or Raven.
And you can go check out, we published on waypoint.advice.com. You can read Patrick's. Yeah, exactly. Oh shit. Wait, time to back up our article links. That's going to suck.
Oh fuck. God damn it. I forgot we had to do that.
Time to go to PDF town.
Imagine being Patrick with like 1,000 published pieces. See, Patrick wrote so much. Patrick wrote so much, he killed Google Docs' ability to maintain a document for him.
The key is just to never archive anything you've ever written, which is what I've never done.
Wow.
But maybe I'll do that this month.
I've never archived anything.
But hey, read Patrick's review of reviewing Jedi Survivor.
Or it was a good piece.
You can read my review of the LG OLED Flex. An experience that was truly magical, because every time I wrote something like definitive about it, I was like, is that true? And then I would discover a new hidden feature of the LG OLED Flex.
Wow.
The act of reviewing it made it a better screen. I was truly blown away. And then I was fired. And hey, thanks to Waypoint Plus, we've been able to have a bunch of fun streams lately.
Yeah.
I noticed that, so it seemed like Yoda speak was helping with the serial murder.
Yoda
I cannot believe that.
Talking like a wizard worked.
Yeah.
Wizard. Yoda speak worked.
Worked.
Talking like a pirate did not work consistently. I forget. What else did we do, Kato?
It was mostly wizard. I mean, wizard Yoda, was a big one. Pirate. A lot of beholds and ponders. It worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yoda speak.
Speak unto me.
Yeah, speak unto. Lots of untos were very good. A little harder to commit crimes than we thought.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
It's hard for a wizard to tell someone to do police brutality.
Yeah. That was a fun time, though.
I'll bet Saruman figured that part out. And hey, Patrick and I are going to be finishing up Dead Space very soon before we get finished up. And let's see, soon we're going to be recording more podcasts. And for our Waypoint Plus listeners, we'll see what's happening. If that sounds good, or if you just want more Waypoint, I have horrible news. Our theme music is by Bowen. The track is Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Learn more at waypoint.zone/BOEN. For now, we're calling time on this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, truly, fuck capitalism, fuck media execs, go home. Well, it turns out they'll just send you there sometimes.
Woo!
That was a shockingly fun show.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. It was a good energy.
Yeah.
Good energy.
You know.
Listen, I love to be the band on the Titanic. Play that shit out. Yep.
Those guys rolled.
Yeah, that was.
It's been a pleasure.
Those were some dudes who rocked.
Everyone else is fucking embarrassing themselves, and the band is like, you know, they're the only people who know what they're here to do.
Yeah. That's it. We know what's. They know they're not gonna make it with those instruments. What's the point? I'll stream a single hour every single day until I'm fired. In the morning, I'll just get up at 8 a.m.
That's really funny. Is the thing?
I think it is.
I'm so mad. I'm gonna stream on this corporate account for an hour.
No. I'm in my account. Well, I'll just host it on Waypoint.
Build your following.
Yeah.
We should turn off the subs on that account people don't waste their money on thing.
Yeah, it's about to be the next month. So that all that shit's gonna roll over.
All right. I think my, you know, the waypoint, the, sorry, the waveform vibe I've got right now is good. Since the PC rebuild, though, like something in this PC is like messing with settings. Like it's gainier than it was before.
Well, yeah. You won't have to worry about it for long.
He's on a different podcast.
I still record.
He still records podcasts.
That's true. I forgot, Rob. Some of us Rob, have, I forgot about your six other podcasts.
Some of us have more side projects than me. No, I'm down here with
you. I'm one of you.
Yeah.
I am also losing my job.
All these jobs in my hand.
Why can't I hold all these jobs? Rob spilling armfuls of paper all over the ground. My jobs. No. Whoa!
Alright, I need to... Kata, do I still sound loud as hell?
It's not horrible. It's not too blown out. You might...
Not horrible, though.
If you go loud, you might start clipping, but it's, like, fine at normal volume.
Alright, I'm just gonna... Oh. But am I, like... Can I just turn myself down a bit? Like, is that better? Like, to you guys, do I still sound fine?
That is much better. That is much better.
Okay. That's so weird. So, like... Yeah. We'll never know. We will never know.
This is a
mystery. Audio is a mystery. It doesn't make any sense. Half the time I'm like scrawling a fucking, you know, magic circle on my
whispering
monitor.
Incantations over audio files. Yeah. All right, let's go top of the minute.
Well, I don't have time. Not is open.
I'm this coming anyway. Yo!
I just wanted to do it to make Rob proud.
Could have banished the curse.
Could have banished.
If only we hit top of the minute, Jason would have DM'd us and being like, guys, I'm so sorry for the confusion. I know this has been a really hard day.
What a roller coaster that would have been. Jesus Christ.
I was 30 seconds.
Oh my God, the fucking quote of the day.
What's the quote of the day?
Always in motion is the future. Yoda.
That hurts.
Always in motion is the future.
That's what was that quote going around from that guy pretending to not be like, that's a right low blow. The guy was like breathing into the oxygen mask, blow. Pretending he's...
That's a right low blow.
That's a right low blow.
Makes me think of the...
Arthur Knight.
The Apollo gift of prophecy, like, meme format. It's making me like, it's just Yoda. God.
Getting pelted with a little red ball the size of his body.
All right. Here we go.